This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 107, IELTS versus TOEFL speaking, test day, dun, dun, dun. You are listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. We believe in connection, not perfection, and we're here to show you how to get the score that you need on your next IELTS exam. Get started with our seven easy steps to a seven or higher at allearsenglish.com/SEVEN. Now, let's get to the show. Today, our guest, Jamie Miller, is back for episode 3 in a 3-part series. Jamie is the founder of English Success Academy and a TOEFL professional. She helps students achieve the target TOEFL scores they need with customized smart study plans. Now, let's welcome Jamie back to the show. In today's IELTS Energy episode, we're going to explore the differences between the speaking exams of TOEFL and IELTS. What happens on test day? What are you going to do? Hello, IELTS Energy listeners. Welcome to part 3 of our TOEFL versus IELTS episodes. I feel like it's this huge wrestling match or something. No. It's actually, we have had some great conversations so far. So anyway, welcome back to Jamie Miller, our guest.
Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm good. Yeah.
So again, guys, we are talking to Jamie Miller. She is the director of the English Success Academy that focuses on preparing students for TOEFL. And of course, if you have any questions about TOEFL, please go to her because Lindsay and I, we are IELTS people. Any questions about IELTS, come to us.
Yeah. And we'll find out in this episode, they're really different from each other. So
yeah. Okay. Oh my gosh. So we have a huge task ahead of us. We're talking about the differences in the speaking exams. Students should know, you probably know by now, that the biggest difference is just on IELTS, you are talking to a human person, such as myself, for example. You are talking to me, for example, and we are having a conversation. It is still very structured, though, because it is academic exam. So what happens on IELTS? I'm just going to sum up before I open this up to Jamie to brainstorm some of the differences. IELTS is split up into 3 parts. So we have speaking part 1, which is very easy, personal questions like, what do you do in your leisure time? Where do you like to read books? Do you like to take naps? Like just easy stuff like that. And that's about 4 to 5 minutes. And then speaking part 2, the candidate is given a topic card. The student has 1 minute to brainstorm and then must speak for 1 to 2 minutes. So that is a speech, let's say, right? Because I'm not asking any more questions. The student just has to keep talking for 1 to 2 minutes. And then part 3, the questions are a little bit more difficult. IELTS says they are abstract, which I think is a little misleading. They are still about very specific topics, but just larger than yourself, right? They're not personal anymore. They're asking about society and the world at large. So more high level, requiring more high level language. So the language that you're giving me changes over the test, right? From informal to formal. And then part 3 lasts for 4 to 5 minutes. The whole test is from 11 to 14 minutes. Said and done. That's it. Okay. So Jamie, what do you think? What do you think about that? Is it super different than TOEFL?
Yeah, it definitely has a different format. So I think maybe the first obvious difference, like you said, is that students are continuing to sit at the computer mm-hmm. when they're taking TOEFL IBT. So they're talking with a headset or like headphones on, and then there's a microphone attached to that. So okay. when it's time to speak, the microphone turns on automatically. It's controlled by the computer. So you don't click any buttons to activate or start recording. It just happens. It's kind of like getting onto a roller coaster and you just sit down and then you go and you just, you know,
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I would be so nervous if I were a student of this, because I'd be scared of like technical problems. Also, like I would be thinking about every possible thing that could go wrong if I
It can happen. And I mean, one of the things is that this is part of how they keep the cost of the TOEFL IBT lower than IELTS, right? So I mean, I think we were talking about that before. It might be maybe on average, depending on which country you're in, maybe about $50 or $60 cheaper to take the TOEFL test. So part of how they do that is that you're recording your audio responses and then somebody listens to them later. So, but for sure, the format of it is different. So it sounds like you've got three parts. Mm-hmm. There are six parts on TOEFL.
Oh, wow.
And it starts with personal questions as well. So, they ask you a question like something like, what are the advantages of living in a city? And then you give a response and you talk about that. So rather than having a conversation, it's more like in the speaking part two of IELTS where the student has to continue talking for whole period of time.
Is there like a timer on the screen that the student keeps track of? Okay. Yep.
Yeah. So they can see how much time has passed. And then when that's over, it goes on to the next question. So the first two questions are these kinds of opinion tasks
where they can talk about anything. This sounds so stressful to me.
Yeah. No, well, yeah. And a lot of people say that, but honestly, with practice, people get a lot better, you know? And so it can be, I mean, it is stressful. Yeah, it is. But, the thing is that a lot of people who want to, you know, go to university or work in like science or something, they may have to give presentations in the future.
And I know
people who have had to go and like defend their research in front of a group of very aggressive scientists who don't like them. I mean, that's more stressful than this, you know? So, I mean, the reality is that life is stressful. And, you know, some people who are taking TOEFL IBT want to be nurses or, you know, pharmacists or physical therapists. And I mean, these are people who are in the medical profession. And like with a nurse, like they're in the emergency room. Like they see blood.
Sure.
People can die there, you know? I mean, I think that's always what I tell my students. It can be way more stressful in your real job if you make a mistake. And, you know, it's not just tests that are stressful. So that's what I teach my students to remember is that the exam is not, I mean, it is stressful. Yeah, but it's only as stressful as you allow it to be. And if you change your perspective on that, you can really go in with a lot of confidence and just own it. And that's what I help my students do is just go in and own the speaking section. So
we do
beat it
up
and kick it while it's down.
Yeah, totally. No, we do a lot about confidence and lessening anxiety. We talk a lot about that on our podcast and in our course. We have a whole module about lessons for fighting the panic and how to remain calm on test day and anti-anxiety techniques. We have like a whole separate module for that because I feel like beyond, you know, English level and testing strategies, this is the major obstacle that students are overcoming is the confidence factor.
Absolutely. Which is why, interestingly, I mean, you and I developed our programs completely separately from each other, but mine has got that too, because I think we both recognized, you have to have something to help with the confidence. It's a major factor. Absolutely.
And and of course, speaking is going to be the scariest part for a lot of students, right? And I tell my students also, like, listen, it's 11 to 14 minutes. That's it. Like of your whole life, 11 to 14 minutes. Like this is so short. You can do anything for 11 to 14 minutes. Like you can sound like the most confident, bubbly native speaker in the world. Like just pretend, just go in there and act like you are the most confident person in the world, right? And just don't be embarrassed. Go for it. Like use some idioms, the intonation, the emotion, like make a joke. Just go in there and like use your personality as much as you can. Cause that's one thing on IELTS that I'm sure is different than TOEFL, because when you're face to face with someone, it is more, it is more subjective, you know?
Well, because yes and no. Well, you mean because of the facial expressions and body language?
Yeah, because I feel like if I'm interviewing a candidate on IELTS and they are relaxed and confident and they're smiling and respectful and they're, you know, they're a person I want to talk to. Like I am enjoying this test. Mm-hmm. Then I am like more likely to sort of maybe nudge up their score a little bit, especially in like the pronunciation category. That's easy to do. I'd be like, no. Yeah, I understood you the whole time. Here's a 7. And
well, yeah, so, yeah. But I think there are a lot of things that students can do at TOEFL IBT also to sure. give that same kind of confidence. Because yeah. a lot comes through people's voices. And yeah. that's the thing to remember. I mean, like, for example, like, you've got a podcast, like, our students are listening to you right now. But the yeah. thing is that if you just talked like this and you said, yeah, teaching for IELTS is really exciting and I love it so much. Seriously, no, really, it's my favorite thing. Every yeah. day I love to, you know, we can hear how you don't care. Like, we can hear how you're yeah. bored, you know. So the thing is that a person's voice can transmit so many different emotions and confidence and all of this energy that can make you likable. Uh-huh, and totally. There are a lot of factors. It's true that body language and facial expressions are lost at the TOEFL exam. But interestingly, one of the recommendations that I make for my students is to continue using body language.
Oh, I imagine, totally.
Because I'll bet, no, right now, I mean, Jessica, neither you nor I can see each other right now, but right. my hands are moving as I'm talking.
I know. Yeah.
Are yours?
Totally.
You don't stop using body language just because you can't see the other person. It's still there. And in fact, if you continue using it, you're more natural and authentic. So, I mean, honestly, I don't know that. I mean, yeah, it's lost because they can't see you, but they can hear it. You can really For hear sure. it in somebody's voice.
And it's going to give the student themselves more confidence, which means they'll do
Absolutely.
Better. Right?
Absolutely.
Today we're talking about the differences between the TOEFL and the IELTS. But if the IELTS exam is in your future and you don't want to prepare alone, try our 3 Keys IELTS success system. Go to IELTS.allearsenglish.com, watch the video on the homepage, and get into the trial. Your first 3 days are just $1. See you at IELTS.allearsenglish.com.
So let's get back to the test structure. So there are six parts, right? And part one is like easy sort of personal stuff. And then,
the first two are the personal topics where you talk about your opinion. And it sounds also like it might be some of these societal questions like they ask in the third part of IELTS. Some of those questions could be similar where you can talk about bigger opinions. In the third task, you go into looking at a campus dialogue. So you're at a pretend imaginary university and you're reading an announcement about some, because it's for university students. So, you know, things change at universities, like there are cost differences and stuff like that. So there's like an announcement about something new happening at the university. Uh-huh. And then there's a dialogue where two students are typically arguing about it. One of them thinks it's a really bad idea. Again, it's a debate. It's a debate, you know, and other people don't agree with it. So this is a listening thing.
The students are listening to this.
Well, there's some reading because you have to read the announcement and then you have to listen to the dialogue. And then when you give the response, you're summarizing your understanding of the announcement and what's happening. What's this change? And then you talk about what the student thinks, the main speaker, what they think.
Are the changes always like sort of drier changes, like tuition and textbook stuff?
Yeah, they're not. I mean, it's standard. Yeah, it's predictable. Well, I mean, it's pretty predictable stuff. You know, it's not like, last week someone, you know, like, I don't know, spray painted the sports complex and like put a cow on top of the building. Yeah, I mean, it's nothing like crazy like that. It's pretty normal stuff. Yeah, not like what you see in the movies for the ridiculous colleges. Yeah.
It's
standard stuff. I mean, it's pretty predictable, you know, there's some change. And so then in the next fourth task, you've got a short reading passage where you're looking at a new concept. And they purposefully pick something that students probably don't know about because, again, when you go to university or you're doing a master's or something, you're going to learn in English. So they're testing the student's ability to read a pretty short paragraph that defines a concept, tells us about a concept. And then after that, they listen to a professor give examples of that concept. So there's this explanation that they listen to. You can take notes. You should. I always take notes on that part. And then during the speaking time, you're explaining what's that concept.
So
what does that mean? And then what are the examples?
So in the third and fourth task, it's not asking students to give their opinion on these things, but it's asking them to summarize what they just read.
No opinion. No opinion. Yeah. Task three and task four and six do not include any opinion whatsoever. So one and two have opinion, and then task five also has a little bit of opinion, but task five is different because in this one, two students are talking and one of them has some problem. Like, for example, her computer just broke and finals are coming and she needs to write this essay, but, and there are all of these problems. And then the question is really, what should she do?
See, that, like, that sounds enjoyable to me. That sounds like it might be one of the more fun tasks.
I actually like those ones. Yeah. No, it is. It's good. Yeah.
You know, like, you get to be creative and come up with your own, you know, solution and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that, like, that sounds good. That sounds fun to prepare for, and you could approach it, more or less easily, right? There are fewer strategies, fewer steps in something like that. But these integrated tasks where it's listening comprehension, it's reading comprehensions, like, you really have to have your note-taking skills, your strategies for summarizing. Like, you really have to have these academic skills in place in order to approach the speaking exam well, I would imagine.
And you've got to be, I mean, you have to be ready for it. But that's why I don't recommend just going to the exam, you know, and there are students who come to us at English Success Academy and they've, you know, they took the exam, but they never studied for it. And then they got a really low score and they say like, oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to pass it? And I say, well, the reality is that you just told us your history. You really didn't do anything strategic to study for the exam. So it doesn't mean that you can't get better. Like, you can get better, but you just need to follow a good strategy that is going to move you in the right direction, you know, because just taking the exam, I mean,
no, I've seen even native speakers do that and they don't get the highest scores because they don't know what the exam wants. They don't know how to hit those high scores.
Yeah. I mean, it took me about 3.5 years of teaching TOEFL full time to really understand how to guide students to get the advanced scores.
Same with me and IELTS for sure.
Yeah.
And one of the features of our course on the, IELTS.AllEarsEnglish, we have a course there, the three keys to success, three keys IELTS. One of our features is we have developed a study plan, a 30-day study plan and a 60-day study plan that every day, 5 to 6 days a week, tells students exactly what they have to do to not only develop their testing skills, but also their overall English ability, because you need this balance. You need this preparation overall, which is not easy. You need to put in the work, you know, almost every day to improve your overall English ability and develop these testing skills and strategies to be able to approach that side with confidence. So I'm sure with your site, you're doing the same thing with the English Success Academy. You're advising students, listen, testing strategies are not enough, guys. Like, you also need a high level of English. These are English proficiency exams. They're not just, it's not just a math test. You can't just memorize answers and go in and, you know, just
no, throw in them fact, in. I mean, memorizing answers, like, because there are a lot of strategy videos on YouTube for TOEFL IBT speaking. Yeah. And when students watch those and memorize the phrases that are in there and go to the exam, I can tell you right now, their maximum score will be 23 or 24. They're not going to get higher than that because it doesn't prove that they can actually talk about something.
Exactly.
It only proves that they've memorized something.
Exactly.
And like, I could go on about it forever. I know we're going overtime. Can I just really quickly just say the last task? That's it. So
the sixth
task is another academic one. And on this one, it's just a conversation. Well, it's not a conversation. It's a dialogue. That's the same thing. It's a lecture. Sorry. Okay. It's a lecture from a professor and they're talking about, again, a new concept. So, something that you're probably more familiar with. Like, they'll give a definition of two types of money, you know, and there could be two definitions of money and they'll give examples.
Okay.
Or, maybe like in animals, they could have competition between the animals who are living in the same area, and they'll talk about two types of competition amongst these animals. So then when you're explaining, you just basically summarize what you listened to. So that's the speaking section. And then after that, you're free and you can go back to your life.
How long does all that take?
How long is the whole with speaking? Yeah, with the preparation and the time between the questions and stuff, yeah, it's about 20 minutes.
Oh, okay, so that's not too much longer. No, I thought it's with not that much many longer. More tasks it would be.
It's a lot it's longer only than that. Yeah, it's only 5.5 minutes of actual speaking.
Oh, interesting.
And then there's again about 4 minutes of prep.
Right. Oh, well, it sounds like IELTS actually requires more speaking then on the part of the candidate because TOEFL has all of these other things they're required to do, right? Instead of just speaking. Oh, interesting. Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much, Jamie, for giving us all of this information about the TOEFL speaking test.
It was great. I learned about IELTS too. It was awesome.
And listeners, if you have any questions about anything we talked about, please drop Lindsay an email at All Ears English. And you can also find Jamie at English Success Academy. And please let us know if you have any questions, because pretty soon, guys, we are going to arrange another opportunity to talk to Jamie about what exactly these grades mean, because I have no idea and I want to understand TOEFL grading and how it relates to IELTS grading and what that means for you guys and your preparation. So get in touch with us, listeners. And again, Jamie, thank you so much for coming on and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. And if you want to get tips from Lindsay and Jessica every week on how to get a 7 on your next IELTS exam, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks again and see you soon.